Maitreya Muni Shiksha. The teachings of Maitreya Muni about Lord Brahma's Janam, Shristi, and the Kumara Shiksha, creation and the teachings of the Kumaras. When Vidura met Maitreya, he was very eager to hear about Krishna's Leela. But out of humility, he first inquired about preliminary spiritual topics, sambandha tattva, that will benefit the ordinary man. Although he made these inquiries for the benefit of others, Vidura admitted frankly that these subjects of mundane religiosity never satisfied him. And afterwards, he asked Maitreya to speak Krishna Katha. Vidura suggested that Maitreya could describe the pastimes of Krishna in his Purusha avatars. Maitreya said, "O Vidura, all glories to you. Your questions will benefit everyone. It is not surprising, Vidura, that you have made the Lord your object of life. I know that you were formerly Yamaraj, but due to the curse of Mandavya Muni, you had to take birth as a Shudra maidservant. You are one of the Parishads of Lord Krishna. Krishna advised me to instruct you before he left this world. The story of Mandavya Muni, how he came to curse Yamaraj. One time, some thieves came and hid themselves in the ashram of Mandavya Muni. The policemen came there and arrested the thieves and also the Muni, considering him to be an accomplice. And they were about to, the king's men were about to kill the sage along with the robbers by throwing him on a spiked lance. When a king heard the news that a Brahmin sage was about to be killed, he stopped the ceremony of killing and came and begged personally for Mandavya's forgiveness. Mandavya left that place and went to Yamaloka. And Mandavya asked Yamaraj, "How is it that I was almost killed by being thrown upon a lance, although I'm Brahmin sage?" Yamaraj explained to Mandavya how, when he was a child, he took an ant and a very sharp straw, and he pierced the body of the ant with that straw and killed it. That rishi became angry to think that now possibly Yamaraj will punish him, or in the future, for that sinful activity. In retaliation, Mandavya Muni cursed Yamaraj to be born as a Shudra. This is the mystery behind Vidura's birth. Maitreya began his discourse to Vidura by describing Mahavishnu's primary creation and the later appearance of the universal form. Maitreya spoke the Bhagavad Puran for the benefit. He said, great rishis like the four Kumaras headed by Sanat Kumara came to the bottom of the universe from the highest planets by traveling through the waters of the Ganga and following the course of the Ganga to the Patal Ganga, which flows in the bottom of the universe. Coming out of the water, they approached Lord Sankarshan, Ananta Shesh, who was holding up the universe at the bottom, and they still had wet hair. They fell at the feet of Lord Sankarshan, who was meditating on Vasudev. At that time, those great sages glorified Lord Sankarshan with affectionate words. Coming out of his meditation on Bhagavan Vasudev, Lord Sankarshan opened his eyes slightly on the thousands of hoods and began to radiate a glowing effulgence in all directions. Ananta Shesh, Lord Sankarshan, then spoke the purport of the Bhagavatam to Sanat Kumara. And later, Sanat Kumara spoke it to Sankhya Yayan Muni. Then later, Sankhya Yayan Muni repeated the Bhagavat message to my spiritual master, Parashara, and Brihaspati. Then, at the request of Pulatsya Muni, my guru, Parashara, spoke this Bhagavat Puran to me. So that is how, my dear son, Vidura, I have come to learn the Bhagavat in parampara, disciple succession. So now, because you are my faithful follower, Vidura, I will teach you those same instructions. A rakshas once devoured the father of Parashara Muni. To retaliate, he performed a sacrifice to destroy all the man-eating rakshasas. Vasishtha Muni came to that yajna and ordered Parashara to stop it, and he did so. At this, Pulastya, the father of the rakshas, became very pleased and blessed Parashara Muni to become a great reciter of the Puranas. Vidura, at the end of Brahma's day, the three worlds become dissolved. How is destruction of the universe take place? Step one. From the thousand mouths of Ananta Shesh, a fire emanates. Fire comes out of the mouths of that huge snake. And so much heat rages throughout the three worlds that the great sages like Bhrigu Muni and other residents of Maharloka They leave Maharloka and they rise up to the higher planet of Janaloka. This fire rages throughout the universe for 100 celestial years, burning everything. This is 36,000 earthly solar years. Then following that fire, which burns the whole universe into crisp ashes, there is 36,000 years of torrential rain and violent winds, and the oceans overflow and flood everything, the entire three worlds, Bhur, Bhuva, Swa, become inundated. This is the three worlds. But beyond that, there's four other worlds, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Brahmaloka. So when the whole three worlds, Bhur, Bhuva, Swa, Bhur is earth planet and Bhuva is above it, and Swarga is heaven. When Bhur, Bhuva, Swa become burned to a crisp and then inundated and flooded with water, it reaches in a direction going towards Maharloka. So Bhrigu Muni and other sages get a little restless, seeing feeling the heat of the fire. They take off and go to an even higher planet. That's like if you're living in the valley and there's a fire in the valley, you may run up to the top of the mountain where it's surrounded by lakes and water, cool air at the very high mountain, and avoid that fire in the valley. Similarly, that's what the sages did. This is the end of Brahma's day, which is a partial annihilation of the three worlds, but not all the worlds. When the three worlds, Bhur, Bhuva, Swa, become inundated with water, the Lord lay down in the waters of devastation upon the bed of Ananta, Shesh, while partially closing his eyes in Yoga Nidra. During this time, the sun and moon existed beyond the three worlds without glare. The inhabitants of Janaloka offered prayers unto the Lord with folded hands. And the conditioned living entities, the jivas, remained within the body of Mahavishnu, covered by their subtle bodies. After 1,000 yuga cycles, when the aggregate of living entities came out for further engagement in fruitive activities, they appeared bluish due to their polluted mentalities. While the Lord's attention was fixed upon the combined karma of the conditioned souls, which is also referred to as the subtle form of creation, it pierced through his abdomen and took the shape of a lotus flower. Then, as that universal lotus or Virat Rup illuminated all directions and dried up the water of the devastation, Garbhadakshayi Vishnu expanded himself as Paramatma and entered into it. And thereafter, Lord Brahma made his appearance. And being unable to see any cosmic manifestation, he moved his eyes in all directions. And because he looked in the four directions, he got four heads. Bewildered about his own existence, Brahma thought that there must be something below his lotus flower. So he went down through the hollow of the lotus stem, searching. He was going down the stem towards the navel of Garbhadakshayi Lord Vishnu, yet he still could not discover his origin. After reaching his ultimate time, which is none other than the chakra in the hand of the Lord, Brahma climbed up the lotus stem and returned to his lotus flower, Padma Asan, and began to meditate upon the Supreme Lord. after 100 celestial years, Brahma had darshan the Lord. He saw Garbhadakshaya Vishnu lying on Anantashesh, whose jewels on 1,000 hoods of Ananta were illuminating all directions. Lord Garbhadakshaya Vishnu's body was enormous. It was extending the entire length and breadth of the three worlds. Its luster mocked the beauty of a coral mountain. The yellow dress of the Lord looked so beautiful, wearing a golden mukut. He was bedecked with jewels, which looked more brilliant than Mount Sumeru. Lord Garbhadakshaya Vishnu raised his lotus feet to give darshan to Brahma. And upon seeing the transcendental rays emanating from the moon-like toenails of the Lord, they appeared like the petals of lotus. Lord Garbhadakshaya smiled beautifully, and by that he acknowledged the service of Brahma and vanquished his distress. Brahma concluded that this must be the personality of God at whom I am seeing, while glancing over the lake in the navel of Lord Vishnu. The lotus flower, the waters of devastation, and the drying winds and sky, referred to as the five causes of creation, Brahma became surcharged with Rajagun. Then he became inclined to create the universe like it was before. He began offering prayers to the Lord to achieve his guidance. Lord Brahma prayed to Lord Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, "O my Lord Vishnu, after many, many years of penance, I have come to understand you. There is nothing beyond you. People smell the fragrance of your sweet lotus feet, which is carried by the vibration of Shabda Brahman of the Vedas through their ears. They find that you are never separated from the lotus of their hearts. Your devotees see you, my Lord. How? By hearing Krishna Katha. Then their hearts become pure and you sit there with all your splendor. O my Ishtadev, you have manifested me from your lotus to create this universe. Please be merciful and empower me with the knowledge that I may carry out my duty, for I am a soul surrendered unto you, Lord Vishnu. And as I perform my service of creation, I pray that I will not become influenced by false ego and think that I am the karta, or doer. While performing my seva, I will contact many vicious living entities. So I pray that by their bad association, I do not fall from my position as your devotee. My Lord, please open your gentle lotus eyes and bestow your benediction upon me with your smile. And direct me, after hearing these prayers from Brahma and understanding his depression caused by the floodwaters. Lord Garbhadakshaya Vishnu spoke to him in a grave and deep voice, "O Brahma, do not be anxious or depressed, because that which you are begging for has already been granted. Fix yourself in bhakti and meditate upon me. And by bhakti and by meditation, You will understand everything in your own heart. While you are absorbed in your seva, you will see me within your heart and outside as well throughout the universe. And you will also see that you, the universe around you, and all beings are all contained within me. With this transcendental vision, you will become freed from all illusion and have no fear. You desire to serve me by the service of increasing the universe with population. By my mercy, you will never be deviated or fall into Maya while doing your service. Believe me, if you always keep your mind fixed on me, even while dealing with this material world, the vicious mode of passion will not overwhelm you. O Brahma, your prayers, austerities, and your faith in me are actually all by my mercy. I'm pleased with your prayers, so I bless you that your seva will be successful. Lord Narayan then disappeared. Brahma performed austerities for 100 celestial years. Afterwards, he saw that his lotus and the stem were trembling from violent hurricane winds. But due to his tapabalam, Brahma quickly drank up all that wind and water. Seeing the planets merge within the stem of the lotus, which spread throughout the universe, Brahma began to meditate how to reconstruct the universe. He entered into the center of the lotus, then divided it into 3 parts, then 14 for the 7 planets above the earth and 7 planets below. So the various grades of living entities could live here and there. He made living places for the living entities he was about to create. In the beginning, there were 6 creations made by the Lord through his Maya potency. 1, Mahatattva, which is the sum total of material ingredients, wherein the modes of nature interact. The 2nd creation, Ahankar, false ego. 3rd creation, sense perceptions. 4th creation, knowledge and the working capacity. 5th creation, the controlling deities. 6, ignorant darkness of the living entities, whereby they act as fools. Then there were 4 creations done by Brahma. 1, 6 varieties of immovable living entities. 8 divisions of lower animals. Human beings who predominate with passion. And then 8 varieties of higher sattvic beings, the demigods, pitris, asuras, gandharvas, apsaras, yakshas, rakshasas, siddhas, charanas, vidyadharas, bhuts, prates, and pishachas, and a superhuman being such as the kinaras. This is 8 varieties of higher beings. This is a correction, not necessarily sattvic. These are higher beings than the earthly beings, the earthly humans. Before creating varieties of living entities, Brahma created 5 kinds of ignorance under which these living entities would move and act. These are the 5 kinds of ignorance. 1, moham, the illusory bodily conception of life that causes one to forget his real identity as a spiritual being. 2. Anda tamishram, the sense of death and its resultant fear. 3. Mahamoham, the sense of false ownership. 4. Tamaha, self-deception. 5. Tamishram, anger after frustration. So these are the wonderful five kinds of ignorance that Brahma first created so that all living entities could experience these wonderful features of illusion, death, bodily identity, fear, false ownership, tendency to self-delusion and self-deception, and anger after frustration of desire. Of course, Brahma did not feel happy after performing such activity, for he considered these misleading creations to be sinful. Therefore, to purify himself, he meditated upon the Lord before continuing further in creation. Then, Brahma created four great sages, the Chatus Kumar, Sanaka, Sananda, Sanatan, and Sanat Kumar. And he said, "Listen, my creation, my dear sons, now you generate and produce so many other living entities and progeny. However, because of being Nashtik Brahmacharis, who never passed any semen, they were very elevated and spiritually inclined. They were only thinking of liberation. The four Kumaras, although young boys, practically babies, they did not want to accept household life and propagate living entities. So they refused their father's order and went against Brahma. At that time, Brahma's mind became filled with anger, which is natural, considering the disobedience of his sons. Although Brahma knew the Kumaras were spiritually advanced, he tried his best with his intelligence to suppress his anger. However, nevertheless, that anger came out of his intelligence from between his eyebrows and generated a child who was red and blue in color. After birth, this child started crying, 'Oh, teacher of the universe and maker of destiny, please give me a name and a place for me to stay.' And Brahma pacified the child, 'Oh, child, do not cry. I shall certainly do as you wish. Your name will be Rudra because you cry so anxiously. I have selected the following places for you to live. Rudra, you can live in the heart, in the senses, the air of life, prana, the sky, air, fire, water, earth, sun, moon, and austerity. Besides Rudra, you will have 11 other names: Manyu, Manu, Mahinasha, Mahan, Shiva, Ritadvaja, Ugra Reta, Bhava, Kala, Vamadeva, and Dhritavrata. You also have 11 wives called the Rudranis, and their names will be Di, Dhriti, Rasala, Uma, Niyut, Sarpi, Ila, Ambika, Iravati, Swada, and Diksha. Since you are one of the Prajapatis, you may now begin to increase the population on a large scale." Thereafter, the sons and grandsons of Rudra, who all resembled him in bodily features and furious nature, became practically unlimited, and they attempted to devour the entire universe. When Brahma saw this, he became afraid and said, "Wait a minute, Rudra, my dear son, there is no need to generate living entities like this. With a fire emanating from their angry eyes, they're already burning down everything I've created. And they're even trying to attack me. I think, Rudra, you better stop and perform austerities so you can approach the Supreme Lord and learn how to create properly. Make the universe as it was before. For the time being, you simply wait for the period of destruction. Then we'll call for your services." Because whatever Rudra was creating was simply making everybody cry and destroying everything. And Brahma said, "Listen, I'm trying to build up the whole place. It's not time to break it down." Rudra circumambulated his father, Brahma, then entered the forest to perform austerities. In other words, stand in the corner, don't make any trouble. Then Brahma, after creating a monster, in one sense, he returned to his service of creation, tried again, went back to the drawing board, as they say. Then he begot 10 sons, Marichi, Atri, Angira, Pulatsya, Pulaha, Kratu, Brighu, Vashishtha, Daksha, and Narad. These sons were born from Brahma's mind, eyes, mouth, ears, navel, hand, touch, breathing, thumb, and deliberation, respectfully. Since Lord Brahma's intelligence is the best part of his body, Narada, who can give Vishnu to anyone, is considered to be his foremost son because he was born from his deliberate discrimination of his intelligence. Next, Dharma, religion, became manifest from the chest of Brahma. And from his back, irreligion appeared, where horrible death takes place. Lust and desire, calm, became manifest from Brahma's heart, and anger, krodha, came out between his eyebrows. Greed emerged from between Brahma's lips, and the power of speaking was generated from his mouth. The oceans came out from Brahma's genital, and low and abominable activities manifested from his anus. Kardama Muni was born from Brahma's shadow, and there was a daughter named Vak, who sexually disturbed Brahma's mind, although she was not sexually inclined toward her father. Upon seeing her father so deluded with that sex desire that he started to chase her, the sages headed by Marichi, who were the sons of Brahma, they addressed their father Brahma, knowing that there must be some great purpose behind his strange behavior. "O father, this act of you're contemplating to enjoy with your daughter, Vak, was never performed by you in any other kalpa, nor by any other Brahma, nor in the future will any Brahma attempt such a thing. How is it, since you are the supreme being within the universe, you want to have sex with your daughter, and you can't control your desire?" This is not a good deed because people in general imitate and follow your lead. Whatever a great man does, common men follow in his footsteps. Now we offer our respectful obeisances to Lord Vishnu so he may protect you from your degradation. After hearing his sons implore him like this, Brahma became ashamed and gave up that body at once. Means not that he died, but he gave up that mentality, gave up that thinking process, gave up that line of desire, that mindset, that illicit desire, that illicit mentality that developed around that desire, that body, that subtle body. That's what it means. He gave up the body, gave up that subtle body, that thought, that desire, which produced a whole lots of thoughts and actions. It's all one individual wrong body. And he gave that up. He destroyed it, threw it away. That body appeared as dangerous fog in directions. It covers all directions. So fog, whenever there's kuhara or fog, is very inauspicious. Brahma got back to the idea of creation, and then the four Vedas manifested from his four mouths. Then the paraphernalia for sacrifice and the four principles of religion, mercy, cleanliness, austerity, and truthfulness became manifest. Then the Varnashram Dharma manifested, the Puranas, Itihasas, which are called the fifth Veda, they manifested from Brahma's four mouths. Then the Upavedas and divisions of the Vedic supplementary knowledge, the Sanskrit alphabet, the musical scale, military and medical sciences, Naya, and Sahitya, literary expression, were also created. And the four ashramas for understanding them. Brahma then accepted another body to engage in further activities of creation. Later on, however, he saw that there was still not sufficient population, so he thought how to remedy the situation. While thinking, two forms separated from his body and they were united in a sexual relationship. The male form coming from Brahma's body became known as Swayambhuva Manu. Sounds like Adam and Eve in the Bible. And a female form coming from Brahma's body was named Shatarupa. Swayambhuva Manu and Shatrupa engaged in sexual indulgence and produced five children, Priyabrata and Uttanapad, and three daughters, Akuti, Devahuti, and Prasuti. Akuti was given to the sage Ruchi, Devahuti was given to Kardam, and Prasuti was the wife of Daksha. And from them, the world gradually filled with population. After his appearance, that male form, Swayambhuva Manu, offered obeisances to his father, Lord Brahma, along with his wife, Shatarupa. And he prayed, O my father, Brahma, O creator of all living entities, please ask us what service we should render unto you. Brahma said, My dear son, Swayambhuva Manu, I am very pleased with you because you have surrendered yourself unto me without reservation. I desire all blessings for you and your wife. You're an exemplary son, because you're worshipping your superior. Any sane and non-envious person will accept his father's order delightfully and carry it out to his full capacity. Since you are a very obedient son, please propagate children like yourself. Rule the world according to dharmic principles and worship the Supreme Lord by yajna. When the Supreme Lord properly sees that you are properly protecting the living entities, he'll be very pleased. Swayam Bhuvamano then said, O my father, my lord, I shall carry out your order. Now please attempt to lift up the earth, which is a dwelling place for all kinds of living entities, since it has fallen down into the Garbhodak ocean at the bottom of the universe. Brahma saw that the earth had fallen there, and he meditated a long time, and he realized that only the Supreme Lord could solve the problem. As he realized that, a small white boar, which means a pig, came out from Brahma's nostril. It was as small as the tip of his thumb. Brahma was astonished as he gazed at this miniature boar. Suddenly that boar expanded in the sky and became as large as a great elephant. Brahma and his sons began to argue in various ways. Who is this? It must be God. That huge boar, Lord Varaha, began to roar like a great mountain, thus enlivening his devotees. Then he began to challenge any demons in any directions. The sages in Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka began glorifying Lord Varaha with Vedic hymns. Lord Varaha became flying through the sky and slashing his tail. He scattered the clouds in glittering white tusks. He roared again, replying to the glorification of the sages. Then he dove deep into the waters of the Garbhodak Ocean. Two huge waves were created, appeared to be like arms. And the ocean cried, O Lord Varaha, don't cut me in half. Please give me protection. Now being in the form of a pig, Lord Varaha searched for the earth under the waters of the Garbhodak Ocean with his sense of smell. Going down to the very bottom of the ocean, he came upon the earth lying there, just as it has been since the beginning of creation. The Lord placed the earth on his tusks and easily lifted it from the water. Brahma and his sons glorified the Lord with many prayers. Varaha placed the earth in its original position upon the water and then returned to his eternal abode.